The text for our sermon this morning comes from the gospel reading, Mark 4. In particular, the disciples, as they woke Jesus up, who was sleeping in the boat during the storm, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in our reading, we hear about Jesus calming the weather, teaching us who it is that dies on the cross. In 2006, Vice President Al Gore warned that the Arctic Ocean would have no ice left in 10 years. He pontificated we'd be facing a true planetary emergency. Well, 2016 came and passed, and the Arctic Ocean is still as cold as ever, with enough ice to keep Mr. Gore's martini cold as he flies around in his private jet, telling us to drive electric cars and turn our thermostats to a more reasonable level. It's kind of low-hanging fruit, to be honest with you. But Mr. Gore isn't the only one who thinks mankind can control the weather. At around 480 BC, King Xerxes of the Persian Empire, he had the ocean whipped and had his soldiers yell curses at the water because the waves had become violent and destroyed a series of bridges he built to fight the Greeks. Have we tried yelling at global warming yet? Maybe worth a try. Wherever you fall on the spectrum of global warming and man's effect on climate change, you have to admit, it seems that we are always ready to try and convince others and ourselves that we have more power than we really do. Controlling weather, controlling other people, even controlling ourselves. Man has been trying to control the weather, the sea, the waves, and everything in them for thousands of years. And how much success have we had? Floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, these tragedies happen one day, and the next day there's always some solution offered. Sometimes we do make progress in protecting ourselves. Stronger buildings, weather warning systems. But the weather events, they keep happening. It's almost like you can't control the weather. But maybe the global warming folks are onto something. Perhaps recognizing controlling the weather is useless, maybe at least we can control people. Make more laws, force people to fall in line. But then again, you always have the people at the top, like Vice President Gore, Leonardo DiCaprio, Bernie Sanders. They're all willing to let you sacrifice your way of living to help the environment. But they are special people who need these privileges because, well, who would do it if it wasn't them? You can control some people some of the time, but not everyone. These folks do know one thing. People in the end are uncontrollable, perhaps even as much as the weather. And as Christians, as we contemplate the reading today of Jesus controlling the weather, we ask ourselves, controlling the environment? Well, how about we first start with ourselves? You know how hard it is controlling yourself. Even James, the brother of our Lord, writes in his epistle, "No human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing." Those same disciples in our reading today who earlier in Mark saw Jesus heal a man's withered and dead hand, the same Jesus who healed a paralytic who was lowered through the roof by his friends, the same Jesus who cleansed a leper by his word, the same Jesus who preached that he was God, these disciples, they saw it and they heard him. Not so much the sea raging around them, But they didn't do a very good job of controlling their tongues. As the waves ravaged and the sea was angry that day, "Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that we are perishing? Lord, do you not care?" They didn't try to control the storm. They knew that was useless. They couldn't control the boats, although they were skilled as fishermen. And now they turn on their Lord, who had the nerve to be sleeping in the boat in the midst of all this. If you look at our reading, you see Mark mentions that it was Jesus' idea to get on the boat in the first place. Lord, do you not care? Our Lord, first we see, will call us to follow Him. Jesus knew that they would get through the storm just fine, but the disciples did not. The disciples had an imperfect faith, and when life was all but taken from them, they panicked. They forgot who Jesus was. Their tongues raged like a storm, accusing Jesus of not caring. Well, the disciples, they did one thing right. They called out to the right person, the only one who could do anything. But their sin was that they panicked. They were flustered. They were, as we so often are in our own lives, those times we realize we have little control of our lives, much less the people around us, be it family or friends, even enemies. Someone says something unkind and you react without thinking. You lose your patience. Or even something more drastic, you lose your job. Or the doctors come and you're diagnosed with cancer, your savings have been depleted. And even perhaps we will lose the way of life we are used to in this country due to political shifting power grabs. All of these storms in life. How many times have you thought that, Lord, don't you care? Maybe you haven't said those very words, but by your life and by your doubts and by your panic, by your looking to your false gods to comfort you, you maybe don't say, Lord, don't you care, but by your actions, that's what you say. Second, we also have something to consider in this reading. Jesus will call us to follow Him wherever He leads us. Second, consider this. That while Jesus is sleeping in the boat, He's the one causing the storm to happen. We know in the end of the reading that Jesus has control over the weather. It's easy and nice to see in the end of the reading, Jesus calms the waters. But then doesn't that also mean He causes the waters to stir? That He causes the storm to roar, to throw the boat back and forth? Doesn't He allow the waters to threaten the very life of those disciples who are following Him? We so often hear this reading and think the calm sea is the final end. And it is. In Revelation, St. John sees a calm sea all around the throne of God that looks like a mirror. But Jesus is not afraid to use these rough seas in life so that we would remember repentance, so that we would call out to Him. And I wish it were different, not only for my own sake, but when we see people suffer and we realize we are not God. I wish I could control God. I wish our faith and trust would grow in Christ with easy and calm, smooth sailing seas. But more times than not, that's not the case. That's usually when we drift off course. And that's because we're sinners. We are hell-bent on rebelling against God. We are determined to control God and the things all around us. And it is only when God destroys our little kingdoms that we build up It is only through repentance that our faith grows. It is only when we see others disappoint us that maybe by the Holy Spirit we realize we've put too much trust in our fellow man. The psalmist says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in mankind." When a wayward son or daughter maybe rebels against the faith they were given at their baptism, we perhaps trusted in our ability to control the world. When we lose our patience, when we get terminally ill, we realize we need someone to save us. And so it is not the calm sea that's the point, but who is it that saves us? When we see that we ourselves vacillate between being ready to follow Jesus and get in the boat to when the storms begin to rage, we pull back in doubt, or worse, we panic. Sometimes, though, it isn't so much the storms around us, but the very storm of sin in our own hearts. It is these that threaten to sink us, and they would. Sin is no joke. You must be wary. You must take heed when the storms rise and your anger gets you. St. Paul writes in Romans 7, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, that is what I keep on doing." Third, we see the disciples, they pray to Jesus. They call out. And even though they are panicking, even though they accuse Jesus of not caring, how does Jesus respond? Jesus hears their prayers and he answers them. They make it safely through what they saw as only certain death. And in a way, they did die. In a way, they died to their control, they died to their pride, and they found life in the one place where they could. They cried out to Jesus. They saw how meager they were, and yet the greatness of God's mercy shown to them in Christ Jesus. How in the end, He will get you through. And it isn't just the difficult times in life, and in the end, Jesus makes life tolerable. But He gets us through by preserving our faith. And it isn't so much that our faith in Christ helps us to avoid troubles and trials. Jesus said in John 16, "In the world you will have tribulation." Christ doesn't keep us from tribulation, but promises to be with us through it. Only don't jump out of the boat. Don't walk away from our Lord when the seas seem stormy. Faith doesn't get you out of suffering and hardship, but in faith we see the purpose of our suffering. To nurture and to grow that very faith. That even though the disciples made it through and the seas were calmed, they still had a future of suffering and even had to face their own deaths. But this trip through the storm and Jesus rescues teaches the disciples and us and strengthens us to follow Him through all the storms. Jesus today teaches us not just that He controls the weather, but that He's true God. That the one who controls the weather, the sun, who even could control Himself perfectly. He was deprived of the Father's protection on the cross. He was perfect. He was in the eye of the storm, and He never panicked. He never returned evil for evil, but was always following God's will. It is this one who could control all things, the very Creator. He gave Himself to be crucified, to be thrown out of the boat like Jonah, to appease the wrath of God at your sins. He gave Himself, and death consumed Him. He sank to the depths of the grave, reserved only for sinners. On the cross, the people, They said he saved others, but he couldn't save himself. That was not true. It wasn't because he couldn't save himself, but that he did what was necessary to save you. That's how unbelief looks at suffering. When it sees the cross, it thinks there's no hope. When it sees the storms, it's ready to jump ship. But for those who believe, they are kept close to Christ. Jesus died on the cross and was raised to forgive you all those times you think you might sink, so that you would call out to Him. So let Him, by His Holy Spirit, by prayer, and by feeding you His very body and blood, not only float you in His mercy, but completely dry you off, to wipe away every tear. Hear His gospel as the waves of His mercy and forgiveness restore you, reminding you of your baptism where He did drown you, where He drowned you to sin, but raised you in new life and forgiveness, giving you eternal life. That mercy and forgiveness of God comes to you as constant as the waves in the ocean repeatedly come to the shore, over and over. So is His mercy for you when you feel as though there is no hope, when you feel as if everyone is against you, even nature itself. In the ancient church, the early Christians really grabbed onto this idea of the church as a boat. They got it from readings like today. The place where Christ dwells with His people in the midst of a stormy world. And I had a thought. As we perhaps contemplate maybe building programs or what we're going to do in the future, I suggest a new building design. One that looks like a boat. And instead of pastor, you can call me captain. No. We have one captain. We have one good shepherd who will never let his ship sink. Not even death itself will scare this captain to jumping ship. There's no going down with this ship, but there's only resurrection. Even though you die, Jesus says you shall live. He controls the wind, the waves, the sea, the world, and all around us. He uses it all for your good. He's promised you that. He's bet His life on that. Even when the storm is dark, the wind and rain is driving so hard you can't see, close your eyes and look with your ears. Listen for the foghorn of His word directing you where to find safe harbor. Hear His word of forgiveness. When it seems He's asleep, He knows what you're going through. Call out to Him and He will rescue you. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.